Thanks. There you go. Liz, can you come and just share that word you had about, I know you had two, but particularly the one where they thought they'd blown it.
So as Laurie was speaking this morning about the stand at the door and knock, I just really sensed Holy Spirit wanted to speak to those of us here, and there are numerous ones of us here who fit into this category, who have actually had one of those moments in our lives where we know that someone has asked us, what is this? What is this? What is this? I had one of these with my own father, actually. What is this? And for whatever reason, whether it be fear, whether it be just being too slow, not quick on the uptake, not praying it through, not having our eyes fixed on Jesus, wanting to do something else, we haven't responded in the way that would have made that person change their lives by inviting Jesus in. Am I talking to anybody here? I don't want to embarrass anybody, but I think I am. And what I sensed Holy Spirit say this morning and want us to so receive into our hearts is that that failure does not, has not, will not disqualify us from actually stepping out again. Because what so happens, so often happens to ourselves, it's a mind thing, it's an enemy thing, it's a whatever thing. It's like, I'm never ever going to get the opportunity to do this again because I blew it. Wow. And he says, no. Your history isn't your future. If you want opportunities, ask for opportunities. I will give you opportunities. I will give you opportunities. So he wants us to hear that word of encouragement straight from heaven today and leave this place with the passion and the desire and the burning and the courage to actually be able to respond to those situations in the right way, at the right time when they come.
Awesome. If that's you, stand up and say, Lord, I'm going to take hold of that. That's for me. So let's just pray a little prayer, something like this. Holy Spirit, I'm so sorry that I said no last time, or that I negotiated it away, or I just pretended I didn't hear you. I'm so sorry that I missed that opportunity. I ask you to forgive me and make it as if it never happened, like you love to do. I leave this with you and I pick up what you have left for me to do, for all the more. In Jesus' name, amen. So just bend down and pick it up. Pick the rest of the backpack up, what he's got left for us to do. Awesome. Okay? So if you're ever reminded about your mistakes in the past, you do know that scripture that says he throws it into the sea of forgetfulness, right? Yeah. So if we remember it, it's not him reminding us. It's either ourselves or it's our enemy. And I don't want to do his work for him, that's for sure. So if he's going to hassle me, he's going to hassle me, but I'm not going to do it for him. So we have a saying, which I think is easy to remember, but if you're not dead, you're not done. And the very fact that you're still alive means you're not done. Because the minute you're done, you're gone. You'll say, well done, you're finished your race. Time to come home. And so we're here alive and breathing because we're not finished yet with what God wants us to do. So I'm going to try to take half an hour for this so that we can all get out on time. By the way, a couple of people have asked me a little bit more about Spirit Cafe. You can go on our website, harvestministries.co.uk. You can look up a link for Spirit Cafe. There's even an example of the menu on there. We have a menu of five different items, which include spiritual reading, which is like prophecy, spiritual reading, peace treatment, dream interpretation, spiritual cleansing, and physical healing. And so those are the five treatments that we offer people when they come in. When they come from outside the building, all the literature doesn't say prayer, church, prophecy, all of those churchy words. But when they do come in and read the menu, it's very overt. For instance, the spiritual cleansing is done because of what Jesus has done for us. We can only be cleansed because of him. When they sit down for a spiritual reading, it says sit down with two or three gifted individuals who will be listening to the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, and will relay to you any pictures or words that he gives them for you. So we're very overt once they make their decision and they come in the door. I love the Spirit Cafe. I love them all over the world where they work. We launched one in Kenya last year when I was there. We launched four in the city when we were there, but one of them, it's a really, really lovely story. We did a whole bunch of Sozo training and Spirit Cafe training and preaching in a few churches. It was absolutely rammed with packed itinerary. But anyway, this one woman came to the Sozo training, called herself Bishop So-and-so the whole time. And I thought, well, whatever, they like their titles, don't they? So anyway, she was Bishop So-and-so. She led the church. She was Bishop So-and-so. She might have been Apostle So-and-so. I'm not sure which is better. But anyway, she came. And one of the talks that we do in the Sozo training is forgiveness, which is very basic and primary to us, but not so much for them. We taught her about forgiveness. She came back the next day. She had a testimony. She said, I've forgiven my husband. Oh, that's great. She said, I forgave him for being a drunk and a terrible husband for the last 10 years. Like, okay, maybe too much information. But anyway, I'm glad you've forgiven him. That's really important and great for you. Anyway, she wanted to be one of the ones where we launched a Spirit Cafe. And so we said, okay. And so throughout the week of training or whatever, she got her heart, you know, a lot more healed. So we go to do the Spirit Cafe at her church, which is in a community that is mostly Catholic. And in this community, every home has a distillery. So they all made their own whatever it was and had a distillery. Well, the farm next to her, so where we're meeting to launch this Spirit Cafe, right next to it, the little field next to it, they're having a funeral. And the tribe in this part of Kenya that was having this funeral was called the Tribe of Baal. They literally are having animal sacrifices as part of this funeral procession while we're launching a Spirit Cafe. Talk about, you know, right in the middle of things, right? I'm like, wow, it just doesn't really get any more real than this. Anyway, it was really cool. So her husband decided, once he heard there was a funeral that day, this good-for-nothing husband who had now been forgiven of so much, decided that he was going to make sure this was a success. So by the time we got there, I said, wow, look at this. I don't think I've seen any Spirit Cafe launch ever as prepared as this one. Everything was perfect. You know, like we show them pictures of ours and we make recommendations about the room layout and stuff like that for reasons. But anyway, perfect. This was just perfect. And I said, I can't believe that you just really got this like this. This is just so well done. She said, that's all my husband. He decided he wanted to make sure this really worked for us. And he got up early, and he moved all the tables and all the chairs and set up everything and made and carried all the tea and gathered all the peanuts and did everything that we were going to do for this lunch because he wanted it to be success. And at the end, we took a lovely picture because their marriage was restored. They're just a few days of teaching and a few days coming alongside them. But that was precious. Anyway, you can find out more about Spirit Cafe on there. We do have a training in October in Birmingham. We usually have three trainings in our area. We sometimes also will come on location and train you. It is a bit of extensive training in that it's 16 hours of training. We try to cut it down, but when you come to a Spirit Cafe, it all just looks kind of like holy ordered chaos. But underneath it is quite a bit of safety and structure and protection for our team because we understand that we're on the front line. And so you wouldn't send your army cadets to the front line without any preparation, without any weapons. And so we feel like that. So we have, I was asked this morning if we've ever had any backlash spiritually. The answer is no, because it's just so well orchestrated by the Lord that so many things are covered, including an overseer that watches who walks in the door. I guess we have had warlocks and witches and Reiki healers and, you know, the lot. We have, because they're hungry, really. And just to throw this out and leave this with you, at the bottom of our menu, it says the name of our church, and people will say, so are you Christians? Because it says we're Christians. This is the name of our church. And I say, yeah, we're Christians, but Christians operating in spiritual gifting. And they say, oh, okay, great. And then 50% of the time they say to us, I just didn't realize the church had anything spiritual to offer. Seriously. And I'm always shocked when they say that because I think, what do we have if we don't have that? We don't make the best coffee. We don't treat each other the nicest. There's a lot of things. I mean, if you wanted to do a toddler's group, maybe your church has a great one. But sometimes these other ones that you pay a lot of money for are just more excellently run. And, you know, like for goodness sake, if we, the church, don't have something spiritual to offer, we should close the door. You know, I love all those programs, but we are not about the programs. The only reason to have those programs is to engage with people about Jesus. It's not just to put on the best barbecue. I probably killed a few cows in the room, but anyway, I really do mean that. It can't be about the programs. The programs have got to be the lures for the actual point, which is to meet and talk to them about Jesus. Okay, so enough said about that. If you want to be a Spirit Cafe, you can let us know your interest and so on. It is a trademarked name, so you can't use it without permission. And the reason for that, by the way, it's free, so it doesn't cost you anything. You do have to agree to our statement of faith and not to change the wording of the menu, stuff like that. But other than that, it's free. Even the training is free. But the reason is twofold. One, I didn't want New Agers to take it and misuse our name and therefore represent it falsely. I also didn't want Christians to misuse it falsely and Bible bash people and forget that the heart of the Father is behind it all. So we've protected it that way. So you can do something like it and go do what you like, but if you want to call it Spirit Cafe, then you need to honor what we think the Holy Spirit has put together. Okay, so if you can turn in your Bibles to John chapter 6, this is my text for the next just few minutes. John chapter 6 is where Jesus is talking about feeding the 5,000. And it's a lovely parable, isn't it? It's the only miracle other than the resurrection that is mentioned in all four Gospels. That's just a bit of trivia. But stuff like that always interests me, and I say, huh, wonder why that was so important to everybody. Anyway, it was important to all of them to write. John 6, verse 1. After this, Jesus crossed over to the far side of the Sea of Galilee, also known as the Sea of Tiberias. A huge crowd kept following him wherever he went because, guess why? They saw his miraculous signs as he healed the sick. So that's a note to all of us who want to build a crowd. If you want to build a crowd, heal the sick. Do the miracles. Then Jesus climbed a hill and sat down with his disciples around him. It was nearly time for the Jewish Passover celebration. Jesus soon saw a huge crowd of people coming to look for him. Turning to Philip, he said, "Where can we buy bread to feed all these people?" He was testing Philip, for he already knew what he was going to do. Let's just stop there for a second. What? Does that not make you say, what? What do you mean he was testing Philip because he already knew what he was going to do? Why ask the question? So imagine this is you. This is you, David, and you get your leaders together. You're all going to sit around a big round table. And somebody realizes we have a problem in our group here. We have a problem in our city. We have a problem with this gathering of people. How on earth are we going to feed them? But the real question in this, which is why I'm throwing this out to you today, to ponder it and think on, especially as leaders, but just as hungry people for more, is why did he turn to them and ask them if he already knew? I just think that's an amazing thing to think about. Because Philip, in this case, represents you and me. So here we have a problem. We have a city of Taunton with whatever its problems are. And sooner or later, the Christians are going to get together and say, okay, what are we going to do about this? And Jesus is actually demonstrating something very key, and that is inviting our input, even though he doesn't need it. He already knows what he's going to do, but he's seeing what Philip's response is, just like we would do with a team. So we've got a team of people around us, our leadership team or whatever it is. Okay, guys, we have a problem. Anybody got any ideas? Philip, what's your idea? knowing already what he's going to do, he passes the microphone to Philip. We need to know what some ideas are around the circle here. What do you think we should do about this? Knowing already what he's going to ask, this is Philip's response. Even if we worked for months, we wouldn't have enough money to feed them. Now you'd be saying, thanks very much. Thanks, but no thanks for that wise and eloquent response. No help to the solution, really. Nevertheless, Jesus passes something to him that we need to listen to. See, we think that it's all just going to be written in the clouds or written on the walls or, you know, there's some, you know, audible voice from heaven that will tell us what to do all the time. This is not that example. This example is he actually passed it to him and two of them actually and said, what should we do with this problem? Now, I think that's incredible because it never had occurred to me before I saw this a while ago, never had occurred to me that he would actually turn to me and say, Lori, what do you think we should do? I'll give you a real life example. My daughter was selling some candles and things one year. It was August a few years ago. And we were in the Solihull Park. It was billed to be a family day in one of the Solihull Parks. And you could have vendors or stall holders around the park while family day carried on. And so I went to help her at 7:30 in the morning set up, drive back to church to get ready for church. Right beside her is a psychic that sets up. And she's like, oh, great. I'm going to have to spend my whole day with a psychic beside me. The worst part of it will be watching people go in and out to darkness and get fed a bunch of CRAP and then, you know, just go on their way. And I've got to stand there and sell candles and feel like, what do I do? So can you pray? And I said, yeah, absolutely, I'll pray. And prayed right then. I'm driving back to church, irritated in my spirit, that there's a psychic at this family day. Like, she got her tent all set up and all of that. I don't know what she had, or tarot card reader, or whatever it was. All set up at a family day on a Sunday morning afternoon at a park near us. And I'm irritated. And I'm complaining to the Lord on the way back to church. This is not right. Have any of you ever said anything like that? This is not right. This should not be going on like this. This is not right. You know what the Holy Spirit said to me? What would you like to do about it? And I said to him, I'll tell you what I'd like to do about it. I want to cancel church and we're all going to the park. He said, do that. So I went in and told everybody, guys, you're going to think this is crazy, but we're going to cancel church and we're going to take it out. We're actually going to the park. It was August, so you know how that is. It's a little more free, isn't it? And we went and it ended up absolutely throwing it down with rain. So it was a most unpleasant day, but it did teach me something on the inside, that there is this teamwork, there is this cooperation that he's trying to hand to me, particularly as a leader, hand to me to say, what do you think the solutions are? What should we do about this? The things on the inside that we complain about, but actually he wants to put some wheels on those things. He wants to activate some of those. Let's just carry on a little bit. Then Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. There is a young boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what good is that with this huge crowd? Again, thank you very much for your input, but you've already discounted it right after you say it. You've already thrown out the idea and how useless that's going to be with this crowd. Verse 10, Jesus says, tell everyone to sit down. So they all sat down on the grassy slopes. The men alone numbered 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks to God, and distributed them to the people. One of the versions in Luke, I think, says that he passed it to the disciples. So just imagine the scenario. Let's say, for round number's sake, there's 12,000 people. There's 5,000 men, wives, kids. Let's say there's 12,000, just because it's easy for what I'm about to say. 12 disciples. And so here we are. Lori, here's your group. Break them into groups. You have 1,000 people in front of you. Jesus is going to pass me a sixth of a fish, right? A sixth of a fish from a little boy's lunch. And I'm looking at the sixth of a fish, and I'm looking at 1,000 people to feed. And I'm thinking, how's this going to work? Like, what's he going to do? Is this another one of those manna from heaven moments? Like, what is he going to do? Because he's now just put me at the front. He's now just put me on the spotlight. You feed them. And see, the thing is, Jesus will use whatever we give him. One of the keys to Spirit Cafe is that we have not complicated it. And so I teach churches all over, use what you have. I think I told you, or maybe it was church on Sunday, that my dad offered me £10,000 to buy a sandwich maker, get a better coffee machine maker, something like that, to do it as we were about to launch. And I went to the Holy Spirit and said, what do you think? And he said, no, don't take his money. I want you to use what you have. And there's a basic principle with that, because the thing about God is he's a bit of a show-off. He likes to do things where he gets the glory for it. Jesus could have been born in a palace. He also could have been born in a normal house. Right? Any normal house in Jerusalem, or Bethlehem, would have done. But he wanted him born in a stable, really, where there was nothing glorious about that except the one who inhabited it. And there is something on that. In our quest for excellence, don't lose track of that. Because very often, I hear things like, when we get this finished, then we'll start. When we get our cafe done, then we'll start. I'm telling you, we started with what we had. The minute that we got it together, we started with those coffee pots and a plate of biscuits, and we started. And on that first Friday night, 20 visitors came in, 5 met Jesus for the first time, and the other 15 all wanted to know God more. And I called my dad, super excited, and said, Dad, we've just led 5 people to Jesus. And he said, what? We didn't have that in the big Toronto church on Sunday morning. I said, no, right? And that has consistently happened over 5 years. Incredible, isn't it? Can it be that the Holy Spirit wants to partner with us to such an extent? So here he takes the little boy's lunch, tell everyone to sit down, and feed them. Afterward, he did the same with the fish. They all ate as much as they wanted. Verse 12, after everyone was full, Jesus told his disciples, now gather the leftovers so that nothing is wasted. Now, let's stop there for a second. Why were there leftovers? Can God not do the math? Did he not know how much was going to be needed for all that they wanted to eat? He must have known. But there were leftovers, and as we know, the leftovers were more than what they started with. See, I think he wants us to step into this leftover place. And this leftover place, which I'm just briefly going to share, because I want us to take 5 or 10 minutes together. This leftover place is residual anointing. So this is just not even expounded, but just you get to ponder this. Residual anointing that got home with whoever took it, in that basket of anointed bread. So what was on Peter when he walked past people in the street on his shadow? What was that? That was residual. What was on the face of Moses when he would come down from the mountain, so much so that they had to cover his face because people were blinded by the glory that was on his face? It's residual anointing. We can tap into that. God is making room for that so that even in those dry moments, even in those, you know, how are we ever going to be ready in season and out of season? I think this is part of it. Some of that residual anointing that we must not waste anything that God is doing. Linger on those things that God is really doing. But it's time for us to embark on the strategies of heaven that will come through you and I. See, Jesus took that one suggestion of the little boy's lunch. And we don't know, and we probably won't know till heaven, if that was his first plan. But he worked with what he had. And he's willing to work with you and I with what we have. So in our place for Spirit Cafe, honestly, this has been such a glorious lesson. Because it wasn't about the food. So we didn't realize till later that actually our Spirit Cafe is 90% spirit and 10% food. It's not even really 10% food. Because it's just coffee and tea. Do you realize that it costs us almost nothing every week? Every time we do it, it's almost costless. We use the building that we have. We use the coffee and tea urns that we have. We try to provide decent coffee. We take no money. No excuses anymore of waiting till we've got things perfect enough. So what I'd like us to do is just stand for a second, and I want to just, if you're willing to receive it, just pray an impartation over you to receive the strategies of heaven. I know this is fast. I know this is flying furiously here. But this is how God likes to do things sometimes, isn't it? So if your heart is willing, then I want you just to open up your own heart and say, God, if this is possible, I would like some downloads of heaven's strategy. I would like precursor to those strategies to be irritated in the spirit with a few things that are wrong. Because it is not about wearing a placard and joining a political group and putting all of your policies and politics on Facebook. Sorry if I'm offending anyone, but it's just not very biblical. Show me if I'm wrong, but I'm telling you, there's a lot of Christians that spend so much time tearing down everything else, and the very best defense is a good offense. So if I'm unhappy that there are fortune tellers at family days in the park, do something about it. I decided I got sick and tired of seeing Gypsy Rose at the Christmas fair. And that worked in my spirit for a while. Till I said, Holy Spirit, we've got to have a strategy here. I can't live with this. I can't have people going to psychics and mediums. I was telling David at the break, there was this woman that came in a couple months ago, well, 6 months ago, and she wanted to speak to her dead partner who had just died in a car accident 2 weeks earlier. And I said, I'm sorry, honey, we don't really talk to the dead here, but I guarantee you will get a good word from God. Okay, I'll stay. She's there with her 2.5, 3-year-old little boy, and I'm just making chit-chat while she's waiting for her treatment. And I said, what's your little boy's name? She said, his name is Lucifer. And I'm like, inside I'm just screaming. Outside I'm like, really? Why would you call him Lucifer? Well, you know the cat from Cinderella? No. Didn't know that the cat in Cinderella was named Lucifer. Why? Do you know that we meet most people do not know who Jesus is? They do. They might say they do, but they don't know the gospel message. And I'm telling you, we have to be equipped to be able to give a 10-second, a 30-second, brief, relatable story, gospel message. There's a scripture that says, signs and wonders follow the preaching of the gospel. Simplified. This is Jesus. This is what he did for me and for you. Would you like him in your life? That simple. That's when the miracles follow, not when we get it all super complicated and make it all perfect. He loves to use imperfect things because he's the one that gets the glory. Aren't you glad that he's not waiting till you and I are perfect in that? So I believe in the next 1 minute, the Holy Spirit will impart to you an anointing to get stirred up about what's wrong and then stirred up to solve it with him. Okay? So, Father, in Jesus' name, with every hand and every heart raised who wants this, I ask that you would land on them right now with supernatural impartation to see the problems you see. I take blinders off eyes where we no longer see the problem. We're just dull to the problem. It just, you know, you can boil a frog if you do it slow enough. Where we've just grown accustomed to the problems and they don't bother us anymore. Father, I just speak eyes clear, ears clear to hear the cries of your people for a savior. To the single moms, to the children who are being exploited. I talked with someone last week who works with families of groomed children for the sex traffic industry in Birmingham. And she comes to me once a month for a bit of a detox, for a bit of just offloading. Come on, these problems are huge around us. I told you the story. One of the things that motivated me with Spirit Cafe was this woman whose baby died, and she went to see someone who told her falsely, if you have another baby, the one who comes to you second time will be the one who died the first time. She said to me, is that true? I said, no, it's not true. That baby is with the Lord. She got so depressed and discouraged, she started taking drugs and abusing alcohol. Social services took that baby off of her. She did it a third time. This is in Walsall, outside of Birmingham. And something broke rightly in my heart. And I said, not on my watch. I can't do this anymore. I can't do this Christian church lifestyle stuff without caring about the things that really matter to the Father. I can't do it anymore. I can't let them go to the psychics and the mediums and have their babies removed just because I stopped prophesying, just because I couldn't figure out how to do that in a relevant way. And there is a willingness, an urgent willingness of the Holy Spirit to offload on you and I the strategies that you can manage, the ones you can do, not the ones someone else can do. You know, maybe you don't have a building like David and Karen do. So what? Use what you have. And do not buy into the lie. Once we get this and this and this perfect, then we can do it. Valuable lesson I learned. So Father, right now, eyes clear, ears clear, to hear the problems that we are supposed to hear, the problems we are supposed to see, the problems that we are supposed to be involved in helping with, the solutions that we're supposed to be. Holy Spirit, right now, download an increase, an ability to hear and embrace heaven's strategies. That does not mean you do it alone. Spirit cafes require a team. And that's one of the glories of it, by the way. The Bible says they will know that we are Christians by the love we have one for another. That's a rare commodity where we are working together and somehow a non-Christian says, wow, whatever you guys have, I want that. Because you guys care about each other. You're not just doing loving acts to me. You're actually loving each other. How amazing is that? And that's what harvest looks like. In the book of Joel, they shall stand side by side and not break rank. There's no I'm first, you're second. We're all arm in arm, one chain link fence, one massive net, pulling in the harvest till we can't pull anymore. I have heard the Father on this one. I have had an open vision about this. I have heard him say, just a few more, just a few more. And as long as I have breath, I'm going to do what he asked me to do. As long as I can pull, I'm going to pull in a few more. Because it so matters. It's someone's son. It's someone's mom. It's someone's loved one. They're not just nameless, faceless people. Not to the Father, they're not. So Jesus, I ask right now that you would be faithful to your word. And that you would download on every single one of these people the strategies of heaven, the yes of heaven. Lord, it doesn't have to be elaborate. It just has to be. It doesn't have to be fancy. It just has to be. It just has to get activated. It just has to have something on it. Lord, we just step into that place of letting you give us ideas, no matter how crazy they seem. Give us teams. Give us partners. Give us networks of people that will say, I'd like to try this. Do you know, when we started Spirit Cafe, I didn't have a thunderbolt. I just felt in my spirit it was worth a try. I've heard lots of things from God that were super, super clear. This was not one of them. This was an idea that we talked about. How can we implement this? What can we do with this? How can we write a menu? How can we open our door? Can we afford this? My decision was to try this for 3 months and see how we did. And we would do it faithfully for 3 months and evaluate the fruit. And I'm telling you, we never looked back. Not from that first night. Never looked back. The harvest is great, but the harvesters are few. Pray the Lord of the harvest to send us out into that field. My prayer is that you get really irritated about something that irritates Jesus. And you begin to partner with him and find the appropriate partners and do something about that for the kingdom's sake. Because all it takes for evil to win is for good people filled with the Holy Spirit like you and I to do nothing. The devil will take and occupy our square if we stand there and do nothing, or in some cases, vacate it completely. It is time for us to stand on our God-given square. and say from the depths inside, not on my watch. I don't ever want another baby removed from a mom because of her addictive behaviors, because nobody was around to give her any hope or truth. I at least want to be doing something about that. And I understand it's a drop in the bucket, but it's a drop nonetheless. And I will do something about it as long as he gives me breath. So, Father, in Jesus' name, would you stir up the problems in our society, the problems in our families, the problems in our cities, the problems in our nation. And instead of turning most of that to political activation, would you turn it into solutions, no matter how small, where we can offer an alternative to the alternatives. And we can start to be relevant in Jesus' name. Now, just in the 5 minutes or so, 10 minutes we've got left, I'd like it if you'd just get with one or two people and be brave and share some of the things that bug you. Share something on your spirit that bothers you. And be open and vulnerable. Air that thing. Because you know what? The devil wins if we just do nothing. Really. I mean, he's never going to win. But you know what I mean? In terms of the people around us. If he can just keep the Christians inactive and deactivated, well, he doesn't even really have to hassle anybody. It's time for us to arise and shine and actually be something in terms of solution finders. Do something about it. If you're fed up with the kids that run all over your street and graffiti the walls, do something about it. Start a kids club. Do something about it. Give them something to occupy them. Try to input. Try to input something positive. My son's a high school science teacher. They don't get much. There's a lot of broken families. We all complain about how ill-behaved they all are. Well, what are we doing about it? Are we offering to just take any of them in some sort of organized way, figure out a way that's safe for you, safe for the church? And begin to be part of the solution. So who wants to be part of the solution? Yeah? The Lord's watching right now. Keep your hand up. The Lord himself is watching. Who wants to be part of the solution? Well, Holy Spirit, you've seen all these hands. And so I ask that you would hold us all to account. Hold us all to account. Remind us of this promise today that we want to be part of the solution. Now that we've come through our own revelation of you love us because you love us, not for what I do for you, now I want to step into this side. Faith without works is dead. And I want to put into action the love that you've put on the inside of me. Because it's not enough to just play in the lovely paddling pools that I so enjoy. We love the river of God. We love the refreshing. But it also has an outworking where the healing that flows from that river heals the nations. Everything it touches, the Bible says, that river in the New Testament, in the book of Revelation. So turn to somebody around you and say, this really irritates me. And pray with me that God will give me a strategy for that. Would that be okay? You just pray amongst yourselves for a minute. Is that all right? Buddy up with somebody that you trust to share your... anyone you find to come so that the house will be full. And if ever there was a time to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, now is that time. Amen. There is no other name by which men and women can be saved. This is the day to mention his name like never before. I make it a point to mention the name of Jesus when I pray for people. I don't make it generic and acceptable and PC and all of that. I go right for it. It's still the only name by which we can be saved. And signs and wonders follow the preaching of the gospel. This gospel message is because of Jesus and Jesus alone. Make no mistake, there's no other way to get there. There's no other way to be forgiven of our sin. There's no other way to be reconciled with a Father who loves us except through the precious blood of Jesus. And that's the point. In all of these ideas that we have, it's still for the lost. Let's make it our determination to go rescue a few. Because my greatest goal is a line behind me when I see him face to face and say, Jesus, I brought you these. That's my goal. Amen. God bless you. Thanks for listening.